Good morning. Hey, who knows what it is a week from today? March. You guys, we're almost through February. That's a pretty big deal. A week from today, we'll be in March. I'm pretty excited about that. One of the gifts of our worship is that we have the opportunity to hear from different voices and many voices. And this morning, we have the privilege of hearing from the voice from Dr. Carol Bechtel. Dr. Bechtel is a graduate of this very institution, Hope College, and actually this year is going to be awarded with the Distinguished Alumni Award. As a note, which I think is pretty distinguished, she spent 3 years living in Dykstra Hall, 2 as an RA. That's pretty distinguished, I think. And last year, she served as the president for the Reformed Church in America's General Synod, and she currently is a professor of Old Testament over at a school right over there, Western Theological Seminary. And I can say from experience that she is one of those professors that helps you understand things that you never thought you could understand, and does indeed make you fall more in love with the Word because she herself loves the Word. So, please join me in welcoming to the pulpit Carol Bechtel.
So, hi. It's good to be here. And it's good to know that Hope College students still make their way to chapel on a regular basis. Though I have to confess that except for a brief reconnaissance mission a few weeks ago, I haven't been to chapel in 29 years. It's a good thing they don't take attendance anymore. So I understand you've been working your way through the book of Genesis under the heading, It's Complicated. It certainly is. And nowhere is that more obvious than in the passage I'd like for us to look at today. We're going to pick up in the Joseph story just after Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers. You think you have sibling rivalry problems. But before he saves not only his own people, but the Egyptian people from starvation. So, hear the word of the Lord from Genesis 39. Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. Potiphar made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and with him there he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome and good-looking. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he has put everything that he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I am. Nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or to be with her. One day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called out to the members of her household and said to them, "See, my husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And when he heard me raise my voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside. Then she kept his garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came into me to insult me. But as soon as I raised my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." In my class at the seminary, we sometimes do an exercise called the Diary Memoir Project. For each incident in Joseph's story, I assign one student to write the entry that Joseph might have written in his diary, and one student to write what he might have written years later in his memoirs. I'd like to share what a couple of my former students wrote about this story. First, the diary entry from Emily Ratering Youngberg, now a pastor in New York State. "Dear diary, I am going to be in so much trouble when Potiphar gets home. Something really terrible has happened. You wouldn't believe it. Potiphar's wife has been after me for weeks, and I've been dreading something like this. See, she's always trying to get me alone, to trap me and get me to have sex with her. I thought at first I should tell Potiphar, but then I decided against it, and now it's too late. She just kept coming after me, and I couldn't avoid her, no matter how hard I tried. Ugh, Potiphar and his business trips. Today, she caught me at a terrible time. I was alone in the house, and we both knew it. She came on strong, but when I refused, she grabbed my tunic. But what could I do? I slipped out of the thing and ran away in my underwear. As I ran, I heard her yelling, 'Rape! Rape!' Now I just sit in my room worrying, will she tell Potiphar? Will the servants? Will he believe them? Oh, God, I try to avoid trouble, but it just seems to follow me around. What is going to happen to me?" Now the memoir, written by Keith Starkenberg. As I look back on it, I'm still angry with Potiphar's wife. She put me in jeopardy just because she was attracted to me and thought she could use me. But in retrospect, I can see some things that I couldn't see then. For instance, I was completely satisfied and successful in Potiphar's house. I'd finally achieved some security, and I wasn't about to disappoint my boss, no matter what it took to please him. He provided my security, and I provided blessing for his house. It was a good arrangement for both of us. So if something hadn't happened, I'd probably still be the best house servant in Egypt. Now, I'm not grateful to Potiphar's wife exactly, but now that I have a little perspective, I am grateful to God for turning a bad situation into a blessing. She meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And one of the things this little exercise highlights is that providence usually only shows up in the rear view mirror. When we're in the middle of a bad situation, it's hard to imagine that we'll ever get out of it, or that life will ever be the same again. And to be honest, life might never be quite the same again. And yet, when we trust ourselves to God's care, we can be sure that God somehow has the power to work all things together for good. Does that make the pain we feel now any less real? No. Does that make tragedy any less tragic? No. And I'd be lying to you if I told you I know how this works. I don't. It's complicated. But I do know that it does work. Thanks be to God, it works. And so from my perspective, 29 years out, here's what I'd like to say to you today. Hang on. Hang on hard to the God who, whether you're aware of it or not, is hanging on hard to you. And who knows, maybe someday when you're writing your memoirs, you'll be able to see God's providence in the rearview mirror. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.